Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Meeting Pros.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Meeting Pros, and this is an exciting one, isn't it, Stone?
Hey, this is going to be a lot of fun, and we do have a studio full, but this is when we do our special segment on MPI Georgia, just a fantastic group of very committed, dedicated, passionate professionals that just do a marvelous job and serve that ecosystem so well. We have in the studio with us this morning, among some other colleagues, CMP, CCMEP, Manager of Physician Education and Medical Mullins. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Now, Annie, you're with Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, but you're also the president-elect?
Yes.
Now, you got the short straw? How did that happen?
What happened?
So the way that MPI structures their leadership role in the board is they call it the Office of the President. So you actually are on a serve a 3-year term. Mm-hmm. Some days I think that's good. Some days I question my role. But so you serve as the president-elect, which really you're learning the policies and procedures. And then you serve your presidential year. And then you serve an important role as the immediate past president, serving as a resource to the board and also helping to look for new board members.
And that probably helps with the transitions, right, and keeps everybody engaged.
Absolutely. And it brings some continuity to the board and just to that direct leadership role.
Now, can you talk about why in your career was important for you to join MPI Georgia?
Absolutely. I joined, I think it was back in 2006, and I did it really to build relationships, and that's what I've gotten the most out of. So it's been important when I joined. I worked at another organization, and it was great to build relationships with different venues in the Atlanta area. Just to have somebody... I tell people not necessarily to get the friends and family rate on programs and at venues, but really just to be able to call on somebody if I had an immediate need or I had a question and wanted to talk through something that was industry related, either signing a contract or booking appropriate space according to our education that we're offering. It was important for me to have somebody to call on, and those are the types of relationships that I've built through MPI Georgia.
And you can just get plugged in like... in a short period of time, right? All of a sudden, you're eliminating a lot of your learning curve when you're new to a role if you're a new member?
Absolutely. So we are working hard to encourage our new members to get involved right away. I think the thing MPI Georgia provides are opportunities for you to do things that might be outside of your real job scope. So, for instance, I now manage a team of conference planners. And so for me, I don't get to do hands-on logistics day-to-day. So if I were in a volunteer role with MPI Georgia, I would be able to work in, say, programs area and really be able to take that on and run a program, soup to nuts, work out all the logistics. And that you were looking for opportunities for people to fulfill roles that they don't have in their day-to-day job.
So I want to know what it's like to educate physicians.
So I always tell people, especially as it relates to Children's, because I think it's a great organization, but people often in MPI and in this industry say, well, I work with such and such organization, and we do a fundraising for Children's. And I always say, I don't get to do the super fun activities. I think everything we do are primarily conferences in a conference room, really important work, but not so much the fun stuff.
So you're serving the physicians?
Correct. We're educating the physicians, making sure that they are up to date and current, which is what we all want for them to provide the best care for your children.
So now how do you decide kind of the curriculum of that? Is it the physicians telling you what they want, or you have to kind of be ahead of them a little bit?
So it's definitely a partnership. We work hard to establish what in our framework for continuing medical education, there are criteria that we have to meet to deliver education that's provided for credit. So we partner with a course director who may say, this is what we're currently practicing, or this is how we're currently practicing, and this is an ideal. So say they should be giving flu shots to everyone who comes to their office, but they're not. So there's a gap in practice. Why are they not? Maybe they don't know that they should. Maybe they don't know how to do it.
Right.
So those are the things that we do. We work with the physicians to decide what type of education, what format would be best, what location, and the frequency with which to deliver the education.
Is there education being delivered like every day, every week, every month?
So,
or is there education season?
Every season is education season. It is actually ongoing. We have several different formats. So we have on-demand education, so a series of activities that physicians can locate on our website and participate at their own leisure, if you can consider education a leisure activity. And then we have weekly grand rounds, which is a little bit old school, but it's every week at Scottish Rite, at Eggleston, at Hugh Spaulding. We deliver live education, so there's a didactic presentation. So
someone's standing up in front of a room?
Correct.
Wow, that is old school, right?
It is. We do a lot of old school in physician, but you want the face-to-face and the engagement. A lot of the, we say it even in the industry, the hallway conversations and the importance of, I can get education from, I can read it on computer, I can participate in a webinar, but the one-off conversations that you have in face-to-face meetings can't be replaced.
Well, and it's such specialized knowledge, I would think that you must be tasked with herding cats to some extent and getting the subject matter experts together and providing some sort of platform for peer-to-peer exchange of best practices. And so I would think it's a pretty much a full-time pursuit.
Yes, it absolutely is.
And so when you're doing this face-to-face stuff, are you also layering on top of that? Are you capturing that, recording it sometimes, throwing, but also like distributing it in other mediums, webinars, all that kind of stuff?
Yes, so we're working hard to do that, especially because I come from a communications background, and Eileen and I actually talk about this a lot, about having more of a package of the education. So if I'm inviting you to a CME dinner, which is Continuing Medical Education Dinner, for example, we just recently hosted one about Ebola preparedness in an ambulatory care setting. So your physician, your practitioner at his office, how should he and his staff prepare for potential patient with Ebola? Totally relevant education. So the follow-up to that is to provide the learners who attend the screening tool that they can then use, physical piece of paper back at their office that they can employ. And then what we'll do then after that is follow up with an email to say, thank you for attending. Here's the recorded education. Here are the direct links to where you can find additional information. And we're working hard to incorporate that same model into some of the education we're delivering through MPI, because we want our learners to get something when they're there in the live physical space. And then we want them to let the education live on so they can access it, make it easy for them.
When they need it. Right.
Correct.
Because
exactly.
It's an on-demand world now.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
So who'd you bring with you today?
I brought with me today Eileen Rail, who is on the board with me. Eileen, do you want to introduce yourself?
All right, Eileen, jump in here.
Hi, I'm Eileen Rail with the Murphy Meetings Group. I'm an independent planner, and I am on the board with Annie as the VP of Strategic Events.
And so the meeting professionals, MPI has been important to you in your career?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I started, I think I'm a little bit older than Annie. I started in 2002 with MPI Georgia. But for me, it's all about the connections. Mm-hmm. I am an independent planner. And so my day-to-day overlaps with vendors, hotels, other planners, technology vendors, I mean, all of the above. And so for me, it's all about the connections. And I'm a company of one, and I staff up and staff down as needed with the team from the industry in Atlanta. And so I get to build the dream team for my clients. So
every time, right?
Exactly, every time. So for me, it's truly all about the connections. I mean, the membership at MPI Georgia and my friends in the industry, so to speak, are my company. I mean, that is what I team up with to service my clients.
And you work primarily here in Atlanta, or you go wherever the event is?
Nationally. So wherever the client takes me, I go.
So do you lean on other MPIs in other areas? If you're going to, you know, California, or are you leaning on the MPI in California?
I would for maybe some on-site staff, but primarily I use my contacts here, my friends, the people that I trust.
And you travel with them?
And I travel with them, or they don't need to be on-site, so I just use them for the pre-planning phase.
And then do you have a sweet spot on types of events that you work?
I try, but I've been in the industry for a while, so a lot of my business comes from referrals. Mm-hmm. So if it's an interesting project and it's a client that I like personally, I'm quick to sign up, because I'm like most planners, I love what I do. So I like to be in the position where I get to pick the jobs I take.
So now, what's an example of a project that you were excited about and proud of?
I just did a 80,000 square foot footprint space on a trade show floor. It was a learning destination on a trade show floor. So not a traditional exhibit, but rather a traffic generating destination. Mm-hmm. And so it's fun to be ahead of the curve in those type of projects. Trade shows are always struggling with how to generate traffic to the exhibits. And right. So it's fun to be on the flip side of that and actually have a destination on the show floor that people want to come visit.
And then can you walk us through how that occurred? Like how much input did you have? Did you decide what the activity is on the floor? Like are you there to execute it?
I am there to execute as well as the pre-planning side mm-hmm. of it. The client really drove the content, but for me it was the execution of that. So
they come to you with an idea, we'd like to do this, and then it's your problem to make it happen?
Correct. I wouldn't call it a problem.
Opportunity, pleasure.
Yeah, no, it's true. And this is a tough business like most industries are. You're not in it unless you love it usually. And so that's definitely my case. I like the multifaceted, multitasking tasks that
are chaos
associated
you're comfortable
with planners.
In that chaos.
The controlled chaos. That's what it is in our world.
So the threshold or the triggers, the signs that someone inside an association or an organization, and they say, okay, I've got to reach out to Eileen, or we can just handle it in-house. What are some of the signs that, you know, hey, maybe we ought to work with somebody that...
Well, I'm an independent planner, and so I'm a little bit biased towards independent planners. I think mm-hmm. they're really underutilized in the industry. A lot of organizations have to maintain their staff during their ebbs and flows of mm-hmm. their events.
Sure.
And they often get tasked with doing an event that they might not be specialized in doing, whether it be a fundraiser or an outdoor event or, you know, a trade show, for example. And independent planners can really step in and help with that. Not only do they have the experience, they don't need a lot of training. They just kind of pick it up and jump in and go running with it. But also, they have a lot of ideas that they can share from their other experiences. They hop around a lot, different organizations, nonprofits, corporations, associations, different industries. You can borrow ideas from the farming industry and apply it to the medical industry, for example, on maybe how to generate traffic on a trade show floor, for example.
Right, because you might have seen something work in one environment that if the person had worked full-time in that one group, that's all they see.
Correct. And ideas get stale quickly nowadays. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to have a fresh perspective from an outsider mm-hmm. on how to integrate new ideas.
So now when they consult with you, is your client going... Are they open to that? You know, I saw this in farming and they're like, well, I'm a medical device, you know, thanks, but you know.
Well, you have to convert the idea to work. It's not always 100% applicable, but you can take concepts and tweak them so that they would work.
But you have a seat at the table where they're kind of, that's part of why they're hiring you is because you're bringing these kind of fresh eyes to the situation.
Absolutely. And that's something that they expect from me and other independent planners is ideas from the outside world.
And you work with, if they have a team, you work with them in partnership.
Yes, and that is what we do. I mean, I specialize in that, working with the internal team and really enhancing what they already do. And they get all the credit. That's where independent planners are really in the background. You don't hear from us unless something goes wrong.
Right. It's Eileen's fault.
Yeah.
It was going great until Eileen got here.
If everything goes well, you don't know we exist.
Right. So now you mentioned that MPI Georgia is a place you go to kind of find talent, right? And to find help when you're doing these kind of events?
Correct.
And then to Annie's earlier point, people who volunteer in leadership positions are a good way to kind of audition for you, right? So you can see them in action?
Yeah, and that's my biggest talking point to new members. I mentor students and, well, new members as well. And the best way to get the most out of a membership in any organization, obviously I'm biased towards MPI, is to get involved. And my sort of running analogy is joining an organization and then just going to the monthly luncheons and networking is kind of like joining a gym and then watching people work out. You've really got to work out if you want to get anything out of it. And it's true. I mean, if you want to get the most out of a membership, the best way is to get involved. And it sounds like a sales pitch, because I know MPI Georgia is primarily volunteer run, but the best way to either generate business or find your next job or generate trust between your connections is to showcase your abilities. Anyone can stand in a networking reception and say, oh, I've done this and that and X and Y. But to actually share your templates and show that you're accountable and show that you have a skill set that's worthy, that's the best way to make a connection.
And that's a good point you've made about having a young person volunteer. Then they could be working arm in arm with some seasoned executive that's been around there, and they can demonstrate to them that I'm reliable. I have talents and right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's so easy to mentor younger members. And it's actually enjoyable. I enjoy it. And so if they just show a little bit of effort and want to participate, it's so easy just to pick them up and take them along and get them involved.
So I want to bring some other folks into the conversation. I'll bring in Kathy Kelly. She's with KSL Resorts. And then I want to bring you in as well. And I don't have your card in front
Allison.
Allison. I want to talk to you too. So resorts are always fun to talk about.
Absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about your work and your involvement with MPI Georgia.
Okay. I'm Kathy Kelly. I'm the director of sales for the Southeast for a very small, but very kind of boutique-y, upscale resort company. As of last year, we had 7 hotels, sold 6 of them to Omni, so I was down to 1 last year. A little scary there. But we've acquired 4 additional hotels in the past year.
Good job security.
Security. Our flagship hotel is the Hotel Del Coronado in San Diego, which is a fabulous, historic, classic property. Cool. Bucket list for everybody.
Right.
So my job is to put meetings into our hotels. And I come from the supplier side. Everybody else at the table are planners. But suppliers obviously join Georgia MPI for the networking capability. And as everybody else has said, to get involved, to show that we're trustworthy and hopefully gain the confidence of the meeting planner so they want to do business with us.
Right, because you have to demonstrate to them that you're a good place for them to bring their clients and travel across
and
the
country. And easy to work with, I would think that would be important, right?
Exactly.
Right, Allison, you want folks that are easy to work with.
Yeah, there's absolutely.
There's a lot of suppliers. There's a lot of fabulous hotels out there, and it's a very competitive business. Even though now the amount of hotel rooms out there is not growing as rapidly as it has in the past, and it's becoming a seller's market, not a buyer's market right now. It's still very, very competitive. So we really need to be problem solvers for our clients, and that's what I feel like I can bring to the table. I've been a member of Georgia MPI since 1990. I've served on the board with MPI and GSAE, and there's another organization, SITE, and you learn a lot about how an organization works by being involved, but you also learn a lot about your clients' organizations by being involved alongside of them, traveling with them, going on site inspections and everything. So the more you can be a good resource to your clients and they feel like, hey, when I have a question and I need help, I can call Kathy or whoever, to help me shine in my organization.
Right.
So,
because you're kind of helping them protect themselves from the experience, right? You're their main contact initially,
from
at least, right?
Small things to, helping them navigate a contract if they're not savvy in contract negotiations and things they should look out for or be aware of. And, just being there every step of the way for them to provide an extraordinary experience.
Right.
A lot of times, as we've all mentioned, everybody wants things faster now and cheaper, but more of a wow factor. People don't want to go into a meeting room and sit and be talked to. It's got to be interactive. And like Eileen was saying, that we can borrow ideas from other meetings that we've hosted and share those with our clients and say, hey, have you tried this? Why don't you do your trade show on the beach? Put up cabanas and walk your people down the beach instead of putting them in a ballroom. So any new, fresh idea like that can be shared to make them look good.
Are they looking for to you for those kind of suggestions?
A lot of clients do. Some of them, you know, just want rates and space, and you know, you'll hear from them 5 weeks later if they're going to book your hotel or not.
So what's the percentage that it's more of a transaction like that, where they're just comparing numbers as opposed to, you know, they're really trying to create a unique experience?
You know, that's funny because of technology and the online RFP tools that are out there now. It started with Starsight, and there's a company called Cvent and Zentilla. There's, you know, a lot of these online RFP tools that has sort of taken a little of that personalization out, because they can send an RFP out electronically to, you know, 20 suppliers. They get 20 RFPs back, but it's all on paper.
Right.
So
if I'm choosing a hotel in San Diego and the Del Coronado is one of them, or, you know, some nondescript chain, I mean, how can you compare numbers for that?
Well, typically, because we're on the beach and we're a historic, iconic hotel, we might be a little more expensive, but then you...
Right, but the experience, that's something you're going to talk about the rest of their life, that they were part of that historic hotel. They got to go check it out.
It's always a draw. I mean, when you have attendees that have a choice of going to continuing medical education meetings at 5 different cities to get the credits they need in a year, and one of them happens to be at the Hotel Del, they're probably going to choose to go to the Del over Milwaukee or Chicago.
Right, even though
the room rate might cost them. And even though some of them might have to pay out of pocket, their company might reimburse them X amount of dollars, and they might have to subsidize it a little bit, but they'll still choose to go to a property that excites them.
Well, I'll tell you, though, but to your earlier point, and make no mistake about it, you had me at Cabana. But the more prudent business people in the room, one of the first things I'm going to do, I'm going to ask Allison or Eileen or Annie, about their recommendation, and or I'm going to know, hey, I keep, Kathy's at these meetings, and I've heard her present, and I've gotten a chance to know her a little bit. Because I suspect your sales environment is really not your sales and marketing environment, not really the type where you can just sit down, pick up the phone, call somebody out of the blue. Hey, would you like to explore the idea of, bringing 400 people to my hotel?
No, it's all relationship.
It's so relationship oriented. Yeah.
I think like Kathy said, I know specific to CME, there's so many rules and regulations around now what type of atmosphere we can offer for physician education and still be in compliance. So back to her point about the partnerships and relationships, again, that I've built in NPI Georgia, it's really, it's beneficial for me to know if there are 3 hotels and I have relationships with 3 of the salespeople, but one of them really knows, they kind of have to know all the industries. So mine is specifically healthcare, and there are a lot of regulations. But if I can work with them and they already know, to comply with Sunshine Act, I know you have to have a package that offers this sort of structure. I can bill you in this sort of way. I'm sold.
Exactly.
And I mean, just knowing that and her knowing my industry and knowing my needs and us having that relationship, that's what is so key.
Right, because then price becomes a little less important, because they're saving you headaches, time, and then problems down the road, where you don't want them to be on the learning curve with you, right? You want them to already know how to do this.
But where you're learning a lot of this is through your association with NPI, right? You're learning that it's important. You're learning the content of it as well, right?
Exactly. We have great education that yesterday we had a seminar on disaster preparedness, with all the things that could happen. Mm-hmm. We had a great panel that shared experiences and told everybody some key points to think about, just to be aware of. And I think we could probably even expand that further to give some real nitty gritty. We came up with a great idea of having a disaster preparedness app that all your attendees would know where to go on their phone. I think I might have to develop an app.
All right. I want to hear from, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say that I think one of the keys to organizations like NPI Georgia is the connections aren't one way. Kathy's not there just selling to planners. In the hotel supplier side, the relationships go two ways. So Kathy or other hoteliers would recommend to their clients to hire planners so that the planning of the event at the hotel goes smoother. And it's vice versa. So if I need a property in Southern California, Kathy's the first person on my list that I call. And I know I trust her, and she trusts me. So I know that if I'm not a good fit for her, she will tell me another property.
Right, she'll tell you.
That is not one of her properties. And so it's really a true partnership within the industry to move the industry along.
So what I was going to say is, in my extensive pre-show research, which you know I have a fantastic reputation for,
yes.
6 minutes before we went on air, I got to tell you, this Omniance website really looks cool. I want to hear more about the organization. I want to get Allison involved in this conversation. I suspect you would echo the vast majority of sentiments already expressed, but tell us a little bit about your experience with NPI Georgia. But also, I want to hear about Omniance. It just looks like a cool organization to be associated with.
Well, good. Well, the first thing I'm impressed with is that you pronounce the name of our company correctly.
Oh, kudos for me.
Yeah, it's we actually rebranded about a year and a half ago. So we had been known as Meeting Consultants for 30 years, and we rebranded. And so, yeah, we have a fresh, new, very cool website, as you mentioned. But just to give you a little bit of background on me, I joined NPI Georgia in 2007 after coming back into this industry after a 9-year hiatus. I actually was involved in NPI Georgia, or GAMPI, back in the 1990s. But spent some time at home raising kids, and then came back on the other side. I had been in the hotel business, came back on the other side as a meeting planner in 07. And the very first month that I was in my job, I signed up to attend a GAMPI meeting because I knew that was where I was going to find all my old friends, all my old connections, and that was how I was going to get my foot back in the door with developing relationships here in the city. So it's just been great, and I don't currently serve in any real leadership capacity with GAMPI, but I do work in... that organization started about 5 years ago here in the city. We were the very first chapter for this global organization that promotes sustainability in the meetings and events industry. And over the past couple of years, we have really made a point to try to collaborate more because we see ourselves as, I guess, more of a resource for information regarding green meetings and sustainability in this business. So we've partnered with NPI Georgia to do some workshops, and we also did a couple sessions at the inaugural event last year called Eventeract. It was last spring, and it was the very first time that all of the meetings and events industry associations in the Atlanta area collaborated together and produced a one-of-a-kind educational event for both meeting planners and suppliers.
And that wasn't just one or two, right? How many associations served that space?
Gosh, I think we had,
close to 10.
I think close to 10 organizations were involved, and everybody had a seat at the table, and we all had an opportunity to present sessions during educational sessions during the course of the 2 days. And
are they doing it again this year?
We are.
Or 2015?
Yeah. I'm going to let Eileen give you the dates on that.
Eventeract is back.
Is back.
Of course, it's going to be bigger and better, but it's May 12th through 13th, and we'll be collaborating with all the organizations again, and we'll be working with them to enhance
here in Atlanta.
Here in Atlanta.
It's a great location, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it wasn't just an Atlanta event, because weren't there people from all over the country there? I thought there were hotels.
Yeah,
we had
probably 100 exhibitors come in from all over the country, hoteliers, all technology suppliers, all kinds of vendors that that we use in our business, and they came in, and it was a very unconventional type exhibit floor, very open, no walls, no traditional booths, no 6-foot tables, no pipe and drape. So it was a very cool interactive experience for our attendees.
So I want to take Allison down to the Tesla office with us. We're going to go do the test drive in a week or two. And we're trying to talk these folks into letting us use Tesla when we go do these on-site events, when we go do conferences and stuff. So maybe if we have you there to talk about green, we'll get them going our way.
Yeah.
Let's take her on the test drive.
That would be great.
Because a Tesla, for those who don't know, is like a hotspot. So we can broadcast as we drive.
Well,
can I drive?
Awesome.
I really want to drive.
You want to come in on this?
Very cool.
Close to your alma mater.
Yes, it's right down the street.
So now, why don't you share a little bit about your business and what you're doing for folks?
Okay. So Omniance is a meetings management and logistics and technology company. And what we do is we're a third-party meetings management company. So kind of like Eileen being a one-person show, we're just a little bit larger than that. We have about 50 employees, but we act as an independent agency planner to our corporate and association clients. I would say about 85% of what we do is corporate, and we do some small association business as well. And we provide pre-planning, meetings management, on-site logistics, registration, housing, and then we have a pretty large technology side to our company, and we have 30 or so software programmers all over the world, and they develop proprietary meetings management technology for our clients.
And can you share an example of one of your clients you work with?
They're Fortune 500 companies.
It's top secret.
No, not really top secret. Philips Healthcare, we do business with them. We provide a lot of technology for them. Toshiba, IBM.
So they have a meetings person at Philips, and then they work with you, or you're kind of taking the place of their...
You know, it depends on the client's needs. As Eileen mentioned, some companies have a lot of in-house resources. They bring us on board to supplement that. And then some companies don't have any at all, and they bring us in to pretty much run the full show.
But you guys have a technology layer to this that I would think that organizations like you're describing would be very enamored with, especially with the move to mobile first. There's a lot of cool stuff you can do for that. That's really in your wheelhouse.
Absolutely. Meeting applications, meeting apps.
Right.
Now that attendees can log into when they attend a conference and interface with other attendees and get the agenda and
so what
learn
is that,
about speakers and.
What is that engagement cycle is my phrase because I come from the consulting world, so that may not be the right word, but walk me through, if you will, give you a phone call, we get together, we just start talking, you ask us questions about, and maybe we're saying we want to set up a users group meeting or a sales meeting. It starts with you just sitting down with us and helping us think it through?
It does. I mean, we really want to know what your particular needs are for your meeting and your attendees and what the makeup of your audience is. How tech savvy are they, number one? Because if you've got an audience that's not going to be very tech savvy, and, you know, we talked a little bit about that yesterday at our risk
management. Like radio hosts, for example.
At our risk management session at Gampy yesterday. And, you know, sometimes your audience is not going to be very tech savvy. So, you know, maybe you want to develop an app, and maybe it's your introductory year, but it's going to be a very simple interface. It's going to have some very simple functionality, not anything too complicated. But we're very fortunate because most of the Fortune 500 clients or Fortune 100 clients that we deal with are very tech savvy, as are their attendees. So we get to do some really, really cool stuff with them. And although I work primarily on the logistics services side, a lot of what we do from a services standpoint definitely integrates with the technology that we develop.
And then are you working with them? Is it just like what Annie does, where it's like a bunch of physicians in a room, or it's a bunch of people in a room and you're providing them education and coffee, or could it be cabanas on the beach? Like, where does the...
You know what? It could be a little bit of everything. And I don't know if Eileen was there a few years ago for a meeting we did in Vegas. But Eileen actually, you know, kind of going back a little bit to the relationship between planners and kind of that trust level. My company uses a lot of independent meeting planners. So we have to supplement when we have a large client that we're working with, we have to, provide a much bigger force of people on site than what we have in our office. Yeah. So Eileen has actually been one of those folks that's come on board with us, and we've had some pretty interesting things happen. We do everything from outdoor events to your typical, you know, four walls, some tables and chairs, and some audiovisual equipment. I mean, we really have the capability to do almost anything.
So people in this industry, though, you guys just, you play real well together. It's a very, it's a collaborative crowd.
Yeah.
Here in the South, we do.
Yeah. Well, you know, what I have found is, because I grew up in this industry, which I think these ladies did also, you find that it's a very small, tight-knit community. When I left this business the first time in 1998 and came back in 2007 and I attended my first Georgia MPI meeting, you know, I literally could wave to somebody at the next table that I had met 15 years before. So, you know, that's kind of what we find in this business is, you know, the same people stick around. You may kind of jump from one side to the other. You may change industries within our business. But, yeah, it's a tight-knit group, and we all do play really well together.
Now, Annie, as the, what are you, the president-elect, do you have any goals, mission that you're kind of charged with accomplishing this coming year?
So one thing that we really focused on is our membership, and we're working to offer, I call them activities because in the medical education world, that's what we call our meetings and events, our activities.
And since you're president, it's your language. That's how it works.
So what we're working really hard to do is to move away from only traditional luncheon education programming through Georgia MPI. We want to offer our members, so we have a little closer to 600 members right now, and realizing that we're not going to attract every person to every type of activity. So we're working hard this year to deliver luncheon programs, workshops that are typically 2 to 3 hours, more hands-on, in-depth, a lot smaller. So a luncheon may draw 90 to 100 people. The workshops typically draw, you know, anywhere between 25 and 50. We also recently this year have added some networking-only activities because so they're held a little bit more after hours, after traditional business hours. But really the goal there is not a formal education. It's a warm welcome. It's to visit a venue, to highlight a new location, and to really have people connect and work on the networking aspect of the relationships. And then we're also, we recently had a niche, what we're calling a niche educational activity. I'm, again, sort of biased. I led the charge on this because I'm in medical meetings and there happened to be a lot of rules about those. So we had an education specific to medical meeting planners, and it was great. I mean, it was about the Sunshine Act and how that's applicable to a planner, what you need to know. We had some suppliers there who even when they left said, we need more of this. It's specific. It's so targeted. And really, I think MPI, you know, I'd like to applaud us for taking the risk of, you know what, we know out of our huge number of members, this is only going to attract a very small, but it's very purposeful and intentful. And I think the people that came, there were several people that are members that haven't been to something in a while.
But they came for this.
Exactly,
because
it's so targeted, right? And it's such a need for them. So that's one thing we're going to keep looking at.
Are these kind of more narrowly focused, like maybe financial? Financial people probably have similar but different compliance issues,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. And the next one we're actually, Eileen's going to help us partner on this one, is education specifically targeted to the independent planner. So to her point, they have a specific skill set. They you know, we want to look at what content, and we're also involving two other independent planners to identify the content that would be relevant to somebody that doesn't have, you know, like a huge organization backing them
right
up.
Now, so you need more members.
We are always looking for new members.
So now who is the person out there that's saying, nah, I don't want to be part of this? Like, why would they, it doesn't make any sense.
So
if you're really serious about your industry and you're really doing this for a living, why would, I mean, this seems to be a kind of a must join group, right?
So I would look at, again, to use my nerdy CME language, barriers to entry, why people may not join. You know, there is a significant financial investment for your annual membership. I think we are trying to work with our current members to say, if your organization pays for you, what do you have to demonstrate back? That obviously everyone wants to know,
what am I getting out of it?
I'm very fortunate at Children's. My director and then my senior VP are very, you know, excited about the relationships that I build, that my team are now all members of MPI Georgia. And I'm able to demonstrate again the benefits of the relationships.
The financially, just you, one mistake pays for how many membership, you know, like they would have known some best practices.
Right. Absolutely.
Right? I mean, that pays for years of memberships.
So we're hoping to do something fun in the spring, maybe like a bring your boss for a buck to one of our educations to really highlight, to really say, you know what, we know you're engaged and we appreciate you as a member, bring your boss. And then for us as, you know, member, as leaders at the organization, to be able to say, this is what you get, the relationships, you're talking at the table, you know, you exchange business cards, but it goes further than that.
Right.
And this is what your organization is benefiting from your planner or your supplier, knowing that there are medical regulations out there that if your hotel can, you know, offer that to those planners, then you have a book of business.
I think that to your point about having these narrowly focused things, that's a lot of evidence for you to go back, right? Anybody in medical can see that, go, look, they have these meetings that are specifically targeted at us, and then that could attract members.
I think the key point in the industry, and it's very exciting to be a part of this, is that the industry is changing. Meeting planning and meeting planning departments within organizations have been traditionally seen as a cost center, and they don't have a seat at the table at the beginning of a planning stage. They are told some point in the middle to take a budget and make it happen.
Oh, like in a kind of a chaotic, like you got to figure this out now. It's a crisis mode.
And maybe do it within 4 weeks.
Right.
Rather than come in on the early stage and be a part of the planning session and be able to enhance the concept from the beginning with ideas. Mm-hmm. And it really stems at the root of the traditional meeting planner to speak up as an advocate for our industry and come to the table with those ideas. And that puts the pressure on organizations like MPI to then present those ideas at our events. I mean, we have breakout sessions where the chairs are beanbags. How great would it be to go to an all-day meeting where, forgive me, I'm going to bag our industry a little bit, you're sitting at a boring, stuffy chair, old coffee, it's uncomfortable, you get like a bathroom break every 2 hours, you're falling asleep because the lights are off. I mean, how great would it be to have beanbags all day, fresh light, innovative speakers, no PowerPoints, engaging conversation? I mean, and these are the trends that we have to train our industry to enhance and enforce and push up to the C-suite people that this is important.
Right.
This will generate a better outcome and a better return on investment.
So then part of your challenge this year is to kind of articulate and to get that message out to new members and to the C-suite?
Correct. And we want to share the different types of education that we're offering, the different opportunities that there are, and really, you know, especially as independent planners, schedules, you know, and also with venues, you travel a lot, you're in sales. So I think if we can offer a good wide variety of the different types of education and the different formats, then and we can showcase, like Eileen said, the best practices in our industry, that will help, I think, encourage new members to get even more involved, and then other people who are on the fence about joining to join.
Right.
That's our hope.
But it sounds like everybody here, this is kind of a must-attend meeting. This is the group that it's very important to you and your careers, right, individually and historically.
Absolutely. 24 years of membership has paid for itself.
Right. That's what I would imagine. If you're a professional, it seems like this is a must-join group.
I think it is. And it's not just for your job to enhance your day-to-day activities. It's more for your own career.
Right. Your personal growth, right?
You might be happy now, but 5 years from now, you might want a career shift within our industry. And so it's important to have those connections already made. You have to start looking for your next job 10 years in advance. It's not something you do 3 months out.
Right.
So it's key to have those connections already established.
And I think we offer other things. I took advantage of it a few years ago to get my certified meeting professional designation, the CMP designation, and I worked, participated in the study group, which MPI Georgia offers twice a year. I was old school, took it on a Scantron. Now my team just took it and they do it electronically.
And soon but
on an iPad?
Soon they'll just think it.
Right. Exactly, and somebody will track it, right. So, I mean, and from there, I launched even knowing that I could get my CMP. Then I participated 2 years ago on the writing committee for the CMPHC, which is Healthcare healthcare, the healthcare specific. So of course I say now I have to get that, but and then I got my other certification, which is certified in CME. But again, to Eileen's point, it's professional development. So it's you helping, you're benefiting your current organization, but you're really, you know, helping yourself and looking right. ahead. What do I want to do? I can take these skills and transfer them to, you know, name any sort of industry, and there's a meeting or planning aspect within it.
Now, if somebody wanted to join or learn more, is there a website?
Yes. So it's gampi.org, and we've recently updated it, and they people can always reach out to me. There's information on there, the contact information for the Gampi office, so they can learn how to join. And if they're interested in attending a program as a guest, the board is welcome to, you know, each board member tries to bring a guest that are a potential member to each education offering. So we're happy to do that.
And then if somebody contacted the website or you through the website, do you kind of ambassador them through that first meeting, or like you introduce them, or are they kind of on their own if they attend a meeting?
So we offer at our traditional program, luncheon programs, we offer, and we did it yesterday, a member orientation. So they're welcome to come. It's about 30 minutes prior to the activity. And we really just show them who Gampi is, what they can get out of it. We encourage them to get involved. And then we do offer that specific thing, the specific relationship. When you walk out of this room, I will walk with you to the networking session.
Right, that's important because it's overwhelming for a new person. Yeah. They come in, they don't know anybody. You know, that's an important component.
Mm-hmm. Right, absolutely.
All right, before we go, why don't we get some coordinates for each of you? Annie, you want to start? Children's Healthcare website?
Oh, sure. Do you my full email or
just the website, so if they want to
sure so ours is choa.org/CME events. That's how you'll find me.
All right, Eileen.
My website is murfeegroup.com, and it's MURFEE group.com. And Annie and I are both listed on the MPI Georgia website as well on the board listings.
Okay, great. And Kathy?
Mine is KSLResorts.com.
So if you're going to San Diego, they should call you, right?
San Diego, Miami, Tucson, or Dana Point, California.
All right, Allison?
We are at OmnianceEvents.com. And I can also be found on the GMIC website at GMICGlobal.org.
Good stuff. Well, thank you all for being part of the show today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
This is Lee Cantor for Stone Peyton. We will see you all next time on Meeting Pros.